and welcome to Aeromagique. I'm your host, Eric, and with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're talking all about the 31st anniversary of Disneyland Paris and the D23 special event that celebrates the special occasion.
Yes! I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear all about it. But Niels, what's something that's caught your eye at Disneyland Paris over the past month?
Yeah, let's start with the bad news.
Oh, no.
The sale of annual passes at Disneyland Paris has been suspended. Disney says they are developing a new range of passes that will be revealed later this year. So till then, only active passes can be renewed against the old prices and old conditions, but we don't know for how long. So that's all we know for now.
Yeah.
Any speculations maybe, Eric, on what's going on here?
I mean, this is really bizarre, but I suspect that we might see a simplification of the Disneyland Paris annual pass system.
Mm-hmm.
So there are currently 4 tiers.
Yep.
It might be possible that Disneyland Paris is looking to streamline the system a little bit and downscale to 3 or even just 2 options.
Oh.
As always, a price hike is not unlikely, as well as cutting back on certain benefits or making them an upcharge.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, please don't mistake this as me condoning any of those actions, but also they may come up with a new naming system. So move away from the pass and switch to perhaps magic keys.
Yeah, like the American parks.
Exactly. At this point, it's all speculation, but if attendance remains as high as it's been in the past year, we may not see any sort of annual passes return until attendance goes down a bit. As always, Disney is more interested in high spending, hotel plus ticket package, park goers. So the ones who'll splurge on dining, merchandise, and on-property hotels, rather than those who visit very often, like annual pass holders, but don't leave as much money in the parks or at the hotels.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll see. It's interesting times.
Oh, absolutely. And especially since we don't know what later this year exactly means. So
Yeah, exactly.
But we can just wait, right?
I think so. I think we can wait a little bit. At least my annual pass is valid until October. So it'll take me a few more months
to freak out. So fingers crossed that you can still have the old price.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I have to renew this summer, so...
But renewals are still possible, right?
Yeah,
so
true.
You can
really hope that I can still renew against the old conditions and for the old prices.
Yeah, would be nice.
Prices will probably go up indeed.
Yeah. So during the Star Wars celebration in London, Disney revealed that new destinations that, quote-unquote, we haven't seen yet, are coming to Star Tours attractions around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The new destinations are set to premiere in 2024 at Disneyland Paris. As most of you know, Star Tours, The Adventures Continue is a thrilling motion simulator attraction that can be found in Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland California, Walt Disney World in Orlando, and of course in our home park, Disneyland Paris.
Mm-hmm.
The attraction takes parkgoers on a bumpy journey through the Star Wars universe accompanied by the droids C-3PO and R2-D2, who try to ensure the safe return of a spy to the Rebel Alliance. Unlike the original version of Star Tours, which only featured one ride film, Star Tours The Adventures Continue utilizes 21 randomized sequences that can result in over 700 distinct possible ride experiences. Disney has added more sequences, aka destinations, over time, usually coinciding with the release of the new Star Wars films. It's likely that future Star Tours sequences will shift the focus to popular Disney Plus Star Wars series like The Mandalorian, Andor, or Ahsoka. The company has yet to confirm or announce any of the new destinations officially, but Niels, what's something you would like to see?
Well, I think they will go for The Mandalorian because it's so popular. If you can see Baby Yoda maybe somewhere.
Totally.
I personally enjoyed Andor much more.
Yeah, Andor's great.
It was story-wise much more interesting, more suspenseful. Yeah, I would love to see something from Andor, especially since there were quite a lot of different locations over there.
Oh, yeah.
From futuristic cities to more nature-based environments. There's room enough to create something interesting there.
I'd want to visit a volcano planet, just something with lava. We haven't really seen that, and I don't care where it is or what franchise it's from.
Okay. Yeah.
And if they do integrate the Mandalorian as well as Grogu, I'd love to see like a mini adventure, a story in story, so to say.
Yeah. That would be nice. nice.
Yeah. So that the mini sequence just tells a little tiny story would be really fun. Other than that, Disneyland Paris has announced that Frontierland's Fuente del Oro Tex-Mex restaurant will undergo a re-theme inspired by the Pixar animated movie Coco. This is going to be opening this summer, and it's going to be fully redecorated, and the full title is Casa de Coco, Restaurante de Familia.
Yeah, but it's still a restaurant, not a bar, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, at least it's still a restaurant, and it's going to focus on the titular character from the film, Miguel, his love of music, and his family. I don't know. I've been considering, what kind of impact is this IP integration going to have on Frontierland and the whole storyline Frontierland has in general, especially with Henry and Melanie Ravenswood? Because this isn't the first time we've seen IP there. We've seen the Pocahontas playground,
true,
but this is right in the middle of Frontierland. Like, it's really present in the area of Casa de Coco all of a sudden, which doesn't fit into the Thunder Mesa legend at all.
Yeah. And well, I understand why they do this. And since Coco is a pretty good movie, I am okay with it. And we also had a lot of Coco during Halloween already in that area, and also in that restaurant.
We did have that temporary overlay.
Yeah. So in that sense, I'm okay. But I agree. I would prefer to keep Frontierland Thunder Mesa, and then it doesn't fit. But same goes for Frontierland Theater and Frontierland Playground. Those names don't fit.
That's true.
Thunder Mesa and Lion King doesn't fit Wild West, so but I'm pretty okay with Coco.
I'm always a bit more forgiving when it comes to any sort of temporary entertainment or overlay. So Coco Halloween overlay, I'm like, it's totally fine because it's only there for a few weeks and it's not really impacting Frontierland that much. It's just temporary decor, as well as Lion King is just a show that can be replaced anytime.
Yeah.
So it's nothing that really is super permanent, but this feels super permanent right in front of Big Thunder Mountain. I have very mixed feelings because on the one hand, I do love Coco and I think it's a beautiful aesthetic. The entire film features a gorgeous aesthetic and the concept art does look really inviting and warm. And I can imagine that the interior of Fuente del Oro, or now Casa de Coco, will greatly benefit from this redecoration, as they call it, or re-theme.
Yeah.
Maybe they could lighten the place up a little bit and freshen up everything. So I think that would do wonders for the place.
But story-wise, that's the only issue, right?
Yeah, no. I just have an issue with where it is. And IP in Frontierland, just not a huge fan personally, but we'll see. I'm going to reserve final judgment, of course, until it opens up. But we do see there is a very big statue of Miguel with his big guitar right by the entrance. So it's definitely Coco.
And you will see that already from Big Thunder
While waiting
Mountain,
in line. Yeah.
From the queue. But let's see indeed.
Totally. So before we get to this month's main topic, I did want to mention that in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we're continuing our in-depth exploration of Pirates of the Caribbean. That's right, in part 3 of our series, we'll share even more obscure fun facts, insider knowledge, and so much more. You can get access to this exclusive show, as well as all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive shows over on patreon.com/airmagique, and it all starts at just €2, so you can also stick around to the end of the show for a short preview of that Patreon exclusive episode.
Yes, absolutely.
So Niels, you got to attend the fabulous D23 event with the tours and the special events and all the fun things that come around with it. But could you please give us a quick overview of D23 and the 31st anniversary at Disneyland Paris and just everything in general?
Oh, yes.
We're here for it.
These were two amazing days. Let's start with that. But it was a huge event with lots of activities and nice perks. So I'm going to give a full overview for each day
to
give you all a good impression of, well, what an exclusive paid D23 Gold member fan event like this is all about. And this was the first D23 event at Disneyland Paris, so that made it extra unique. As said, this was a two-day event on April 12th, the 31st anniversary of DLP, and the day after, April 13th. And day one started, of course, with collecting tickets and badges in a special D23 lounge at the Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel. The lounge was in one of the smaller convention center venues, so that was really nice. The event included a D23 badge that we needed to show for accessing all the activities, a two-day two-parks ticket, and a direct access ticket for both days. So that basically means to Premier Access Ultimate passes to do all the Premier cool. Access rides. So that was really cool indeed.
Always good to
always
have.
Always good to have, especially on these, well, busy days. The 31st anniversary was a sold out Parks Day.
Oh, yeah.
And with the special program, yeah, you have less time to do attractions. So then it's extra welcome to have this Premier Access Ultimate passes. So you can do all the rides that have Premier Access one time per day without or with just a short wait. But only Orbitron is excluded somehow in this Premier Access Ultimate pass. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not sure why, but that's the same when you purchase it yourself. Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm. We also received a D23 bag that contained Disneyland Paris 1992 ticket replica with the D23 event logo on the backside.
Oh, cool.
Also received a poncho, which became handy since the weather went everywhere those days.
Oh, no.
It was not a Disney branded poncho. Just a regular one. I also received the all-new cast member exclusive 30th anniversary book. Although I think I received this because I was there through the Inside Ears program and the Inside Ears people received this book. I also received an Inside Ears 5th anniversary pin, so that was really nice to get some nice presents when I arrived there. Yeah, and then some information about the lounge itself. There was coffee, tea, water, I think orange juice, and also some snacks. So that was really nice. But above all, there were two 30th anniversary Grand Family backdrops. Well, to take our best selfies, of course. And one of them was used to meet characters, and they changed every now and then. So we had Mickey, Donald, Pluto, and Goofy, so the classic characters.
Nice.
But the unique thing here was that these characters came in their shiny 30th anniversary outfits. And usually you can't meet them in these outfits, huh? Only see them on the station waving at you or performing in these outfits during Dream and Shine Brighter. Yeah, that was really nice to be able to see them up close in these outfits and get some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the perks already at the start of the day. Yeah, so this first day was all about Disneyland Park, reserved viewing areas and seats for Dream and Shine Brighter, Stars on Parade, Lion King, Rhythms of the Pridelands were all included. And of course, we would do rides during the day making use of this Premier Access Pass. So yeah, I did only a few rides in between all the activities, including my favorite Big Thunder Mountain, of course.
Nice.
Lunch was included and served in several restaurants since the group was quite big.
Yeah.
So some of the D23 members went to Waltz, some to Auberge, and we went to Captain Jack's.
Nice.
And I think the Inside Ears people that were connected to the event went to Captain Jack's and the D23 Gold members to Auberge and Waltz. Well, I've had a great time with some other Inside Ears members from the Netherlands, Belgium, France at Captain Jack's. And there was also a D23 Gold member from the USA joining us as he went to the wrong place.
Oh, no.
I think he had to be at the Auberge, but didn't understand how it worked. So yeah, he joined us, but we had a great time. And I think for him, it was maybe even nicer to be there with us as we all knew Disneyland Paris very good and
nice.
Could tell him all the secrets and the nice details. So that was an interesting conversation. Oh yeah, and when we entered the restaurant, the lights of the attraction were all on.
Oh!
So it was fun to see the whole bayou in a totally different way.
Oh, nice.
And I think that lasted for like 15 minutes.
Oh, so enough time to take some photos.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had a three-course menu for lunch, and I took the delicious 30th anniversary mocktail as a drink.
Oh, nice. Good.
So that was really nice that that was included as well. Yeah, for dinner, we were invited to special gala dinner at the New York Hotel Convention Center. And this was for D23 Gold members, Inside Ears members, some cast members, and also some of the Euro Disney ex-shareholders club.
That still exists?
Yeah, it's still existing. Yeah, these people are not shareholders, of course, anymore, but they received a 10-year card to have access to this lounge at the park entrance. And also they get invitations for special events during these 10 years.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So that's all based on, yeah, I think some kind of drawing. So they have like 40 or 50 seats for them in an event like this.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So I know that the ex-shareholders that were selected for this event, they all could bring three other people. So that was really nice.
Oh, cool.
So the ballroom and the decorations, they were absolutely beautiful. The buffet was amazing and had a wide selection of Well, everything we can find in the other buffets around the parks and the hotels, I think it was a really nice mix. And during this evening, we got presentations of what's going on at Disneyland Paris, some nice words of the DLP president, Natasha Rafalski, the head of D23, Michael Fargo, and a lot of key players of Imagineering, merchandise, and so on. So yeah, no big reveals, unfortunately, but still great pieces of information, and well, being there was already amazing. There were also some great pieces of character stage entertainment.
Oh, fun.
A couple of songs that they did with characters in the 30th anniversary outfits, but also a little dance performance with Toy Story characters. So it was really a nice mix of entertainment. And of course, good company of other fans. So made an absolutely fantastic evening for me.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about what happened during this day and so many impressions, so many people. It was really awesome. So after dinner, we walked as a group, and this group was really big. I'm not sure how many people were at this dinner, but well, somewhere between 500 and 1,000, I guess. And as a group, we were escorted back to the park where most of Central Plaza was reserved for us to see Disney Delight. Unfortunately, without drones that evening due to the weather conditions, it was quite a lot of wind, followed by the first performance of the nighttime spectacular Disney Dreams that is back after 6 years of illuminations and some COVID time. But let's talk about that a little bit later. But it was a really nice day to conclude day one.
Ah, it sounds lovely.
It was, yeah. And when I was back at my hotel, I think I couldn't sleep for at least one or two hours.
All that adrenaline.
Exactly. Yeah. On day two, aka Walt Disney Studios Park Day, we had a, well, let's say a free morning to do whatever we wanted to do. So I decided to sleep in a bit after this long day. And then I used my Premier Access to do some rides like Web Adventure and Ratatouille. Lunch for everyone of the D23 event was at Pim Kitchen in two different shifts.
I was about to ask, since it's so many people.
Yeah. So they made two groups. So this day we didn't have the insiders and the ex-shareholders people, just the D23 people. So and five insiders people like me that were added to the D23 event. So that was a smaller group.
Right.
Well, of course, I've enjoyed the buffet as always. I had the delicious mocktail and some fun chats with mainly Dutch and American fans that were at the same table. After lunch, my shift had a guided tour through Avengers Campus with Beth Clapperton, the creative director of Walt Disney Imagineering Paris and also responsible for the campus. And the other half of my group had creative Lorraine Harriet as their tour guide. So there were two shifts, and both shifts were split up into smaller groups for the tours. So the tour was great, just to hear the basic story of the campus again and get some personal anecdotes from the creative director herself. And I actually loved being there in her company and chatting with her most of this tour. She's really fantastic. And afterwards, I got a picture together with her. And we received a bunch of Avengers Campus badges and three beautiful concept art XL sized postcards.
So cool.
It was a nice present to conclude that tour. So the rest of the afternoon, we got to see Mickey and the Magician and the Frozen Show, also with reserved seating. We received a voucher for a quick service meal, so this time we're able to just pick one of the restaurants and have a meal whenever we liked. In between, I went back to the campus to see the Hulk, who now appears.
The Project EXO, right?
Exactly, in his quantum outfit from Avengers Endgame. So that was fun to see.
So did he speak more English or more French? Because I saw on Twitter he does both.
He can do both, but I only heard English, I think.
Oh, okay. Does he react at all to what people are shouting at him? Or is it just like generic, like, oh yeah, good job?
A little bit, but these are pre-recorded sentences. So yeah, it was a lot of things like say green or something like I can see you because I'm tall and that kind of little jokes. Something like a superhero pose.
Did he interact at all? Like any special type of interaction, or was it just like generic like waving? And
it's a little bit of movement, waving indeed, but not too much, because I guess this whole air filled suit isn't the most easy suit to make big movements.
I can imagine. Yeah.
But it was quite fun. He's reacting a little bit with these standard sentences to the people, and it's it was really fun to see how enthusiastic a lot of fans were to meet him finally.
He looks really cool, and like a massive character like that is always really fun to see. So
yeah.
I think it's even more impressive when you see him for real and you
absolutely.
Can take in all of that size versus on a photo or on a video.
Yeah. Then I hopped over to the Disneyland Park to get my Bavarian hot dog at the La Chalette de Marionette restaurant.
Oh, nice. Also one that I don't visit very often.
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, well, I actually love that Bavarian hot dog. It's, let's say, the cheapest menu that they offer, the menu number one, but that's the one I prefer.
Nice.
And I had some time between the afternoon program and the evening program, and I had that meal voucher, so I thought, well, in the campus, there's not many choices for a quick service meal, so let's go to Disneyland Park, have the Bavarian hot dog. Then I'm already close to Peter Pan's flight, which is one of the best rides to do with Premier Access.
Most definitely.
It's short and a long wait time usually, so that's what I went for. And after doing Peter Pan twice, I was also able to join some other people with a handicap pass to do it the second time. And then we went together to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And then I went back to the studios for the Power of the Night show, also without drones.
Oh, no.
Yeah, unfortunately. But well, still a nice but short show, though. It started raining a little bit, but I found a nice place to stand covered. Still be able to see the top of the tower, not the full thing, but it was nice to see the most important projections and the fireworks. And I already saw it with drones, so that was fine for me to see it from this perspective.
Right. I can imagine that it's kind of frustrating for D23 members who traveled across the pond, so to say.
Yeah, two evenings,
just to
no
see
drones.
The drones more than anything, which is something they don't have in the American parks and then not get them.
The thing was that at Disneyland Park, an hour later, the Disney Delight show was with drones.
Okay.
But then, and that was the real reason I went back to the studios, then we had another guided tour. So that's why Disney Delight was missed. But this tour was amazing, as this was the guided walkthrough Ratatouille tour.
Ah, so cool.
In my case, with show director Bjorn Heerwagen from Walt Disney Imagineering Paris. And after that, we also had a little dessert party at Bistro Jérémy.
Nice.
Actually, my shift had it before the tour. It was planned after, but because of some extra time needed to change groups and get our protective shoes on and get our headsets to be able to hear him better, they decided to give us the dessert party first.
Oh, okay.
And then when the first group came back, we went to the ride. And then we went home with the Art of Disneyland Paris A to Z book as a final gift received. Oh, and Bjorn Heerwagen signed my book. I opened it on the Ratatouille page and he made a little personal note in it.
Yes!
So that was really nice. We took a picture together, of course. So overall, another fantastic and fully packed day. Yeah, concluding the D23 event just after midnight.
It sounds like an absolute blast. Well, since we're talking about the Ratatouille Imagineer Tour, could you maybe share some highlights or some of your favorite fun facts?
Oh, yes. Well,
and we'll be right back after this quick ad break. And we're back.
I made some notes afterwards. I hope I remembered everything correctly. But, well, just walking through this ride instead of riding it was already amazing at itself.
Yeah.
Especially with the lights on and, well, with someone like Bjorn Heerwagen, that was amazing, as I loved his sense of humor, but also his very, very detailed, mostly technical explanations about the creation of all these show scenes, because that's really his specialty.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That was really fun. So yeah, let's run through my list of quick facts that I try to note afterwards. Let's start with the exterior. To make the building look like a real old Parisian building, nothing really has straight lines. And I discovered that because I was trying to make a picture with my phone on the ground from the show building.
Yeah.
Because at night, no one was there. The lights were on. So that was the perfect opportunity to take some nice pictures. But It always looked like the building was not
centered properly, a little bit crooked.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I thought maybe it's the tiles on the ground of the square or, well, something like that. But then he revealed that nothing has straight lines in this building's exterior to make it look older. So, okay.
Got that crookedology going
on. Exactly. Yeah. Also, some of the windows have lights behind it in the evening, others not, which gives us the apartment feel, where some people are home or awake, some not, making it more realistic. And, well, these are things that you can usually see, but it's nice that he really pointed this out because, that's the little things that make the difference, I guess.
Nice, yeah.
So in that food storage room inside the attraction with the huge refrigerator, you can see a huge piece of meat above you. Do you have any idea, Eric, what the weight of that thing is?
Oh, what the weight is? Oh, wow.
He was really into these kind of details.
Maybe 4 tons?
Okay, well, this one was 1,000 kilograms.
Oh, I'm way too high. Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was expecting less myself because, well, it could be just a simple piece of plastic filled with air.
Of course.
So, yeah, it was heavier than I expected. And the fun thing is that there are 2 sprinklers hidden in it because this one is hanging a little bit lower, so it's reaching better to the red mobiles.
It is the meat sprinkler.
The meat sprinkler, yeah.
I was assuming maybe it had some sort of metal or carbon cord for stabilization purposes since it is so big, so that's why I went, I think, a little bit too high there. Yep. But yeah.
The fish above you here is 800 kilograms. The salami sausages, there are multiple, are around 500 kilos each.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Don't want that dropping on your head.
No, so I hope they fixed it the right way. In this room, there's also some scent added. What scent do you think it is?
Well, the final cooking scene always has the scent. That's the one that's most memorable to me, which smells kind of brothy.
Okay, yeah.
But in the storage room, I never really noticed one.
Somehow, I always thought I smelled the pies.
Right.
Because you're looking at the pies in the refrigerator. But it's a smell of oranges because they're all, oranges on the sides in the storage containers.
Okay, orange.
It's a bit citrus orange.
I'm going to try to pay extra attention to that next time I ride it. Never noticed it before, though, but yeah, cool to know.
Yeah, but it's there. In one of the sets, there's a massive door that closes after you. I think, and I'm not completely sure anymore, that it's in the kitchen scene with the oven, but this door is 5 by 5 meters, so it's
nice,
amazing. But to make sure that cast members can still get through when the door is closing or is closed, there is a safety door inside this huge door. So just on the side, you can just push it and then it opens. So that's really cool. Fun. Something that you, well, don't pay attention to, but probably even when it's dimmed lights, I guess you can see it if you know that it's there.
Okay.
In this room, they also had a challenge with the projector lenses, as the door movement, 5 by 5 meters, causes the lenses to vibrate a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of air moving around because of this door movement. So, So they had to tackle that with some extra work.
I can imagine, It's such a thing that you probably never think about when planning an attraction.
No.
The way the giant doors affect air movement on the projection lenses. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things that has to be fixed during testing.
Exactly.
Yeah, really fascinating insight. So cool.
Yeah. Well, speakers are usually hidden behind the screens. They're not very visible with the dimmed lights as they are in the bottom of the screens and also painted white like the screen. I noticed them one time. So if you look a little bit down, not focus on the screen where the main story happens, then you can still see them. But they did that really smartly, I think.
Nice.
There was also a dark painted wall behind the red mobile, so on the other side of the screen. Mm-hmm. And Bjorn pointed out that there is a softer material spot in the walls, and that's where they hide the huge subwoofers.
So you get that oomph.
So they're behind you.
Nice.
Yeah. The bigger screens in the various theaters have 4 or 6 projectors, so they cannot just use one projector to cover the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I guess that was quite a challenge to program and
sync up.
Sync, as you usually don't see that it's a combination of projections.
Yeah, you can if you, like me, are a super big nerd.
So you saw it. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I've noticed it before because I always tend to look up and back when everybody else is looking towards the front. And then you can see that there are multiple projectors with fisheye lenses working at the same time. And of course, this is beneficial to the 3D effect, which darkens the image a bit. So if you add more projectors, you get more light. And of course, you can cover larger surfaces by combining multiple projectors. Yeah. Really interesting, though, to have them talk about that.
The Red Mobiles, they got tested in a huge warehouse, I believe in the US, that he said, to simulate the whole ride. And they started testing with just three, and then they added three more and more and more. And well, when all the mobiles were ready and tested in the warehouse, they brought over the mobiles to Disneyland Paris, where they were tested and tuned for another 8 months on location.
Oh, wow. 8 months, yeah.
So that was, yeah, quite a
lots
a,
of testing
process. The Red Mobiles are stored in the theaters, in the boarding and the deboarding areas after closure. So they're not going to a separate area. They're just standing there.
Interesting. Okay.
In front of the screen. So not all over the place, but pretty close to each other in front of the screens. I'm not sure if that was done because of this tour, but I think these were the loading locations for them.
Yeah, the charging.
Yeah, the charging locations so that cast members can easily walk around through the attraction, through the doors and the back areas of the theaters. Yeah.
Nice.
The Red Mobiles for Ratatouille in Paris were ordered at the same time as the ones for Mystic Manor in Hong Kong Disneyland. Bjorn told us. And they're very similar to each other, but the only difference is that the Paris ones can tilt a little bit to make that drop down scene into the kitchen, for instance, to make that feel more realistic.
Yeah.
We have a little more advanced version of that system.
Ah, interesting.
Another fun detail here are that the Christmas lights in the Ratatouille and Chez Remy restaurant are the typical European halogen Christmas lights. Well, the ones that we used to have before we had the LED Christmas lights. But these are matching with the place, France, Europe, and the time, the year 2007, of the movie. When you walk out Ratatouille to Toy Story Playland, right next to it, then you can see also huge Christmas lights hanging above the walkways. But these look different as they match with the Toy Story films. So these are the American style, more bulky and colored lights.
Right.
So it's it's just a fun difference. It's still, revealing that they think about all these little details. Don't just put in big Christmas lights, but to make it match with the movie, with the time of the movie, where the movie is situated.
Really cool,
And then let's talk about the leaves in this attraction. So there are many, many leaves on the ceiling, in the back of especially the deboarding area, in the last show scene of the ride, but also in the back area of Chez Remy. These leaves make that the restaurant really connect to the deboarding area. They just go over from one place to another. But Bjorn revealed that there are more than 2,200 leaves.
Wow.
And they're made out of aluminum. There are two shapes, and each shape comes in three different sizes. That's how they make the variations.
Nice. So durable with the painted aluminum.
And these leaves were all handmade or hand painted in the UK. So a lot of work.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Bjorn also said that, well, we called that company in the UK the florist at a certain moment because they were working day in,
making
day out.
Making leaves, making leaves.
Leaves and maybe also the flowers, but Then there are two massive mechanical wheels of the cart in the restaurant scene. These wheels were made in the US, so shipped over, I guess, by boat or ship.
Oh, yeah. And they spin slowly too, right? During the attraction. Yeah, it's a really nice detail.
Yeah. To make you feel like being there in a real restaurant with the moving mechanical props combined with the 3D effects, making it more realistic.
Really cool, yeah.
I think, but I'm not completely sure, that Bjorn also told us that scene number 3 has two theaters. So there are two versions that people can enter. So there are two ways to get into that scene.
Ah, okay.
And he said, well, check the right side of the screen for a small difference between these two theaters. So the scenes are similar, but there is one small detail that is apparently different, and that's something you can see on the right side. So something to look for during one of the next visits.
Neat. Okay.
And then do it over and over again.
Yeah.
And see if you can see that you're heading into another theater for the same scene, and then see if you can spot something different on the right side.
Hey everyone, this is Eric from the editing booth. Just wanted to let you know that scene 3 in Ratatouille the Adventure refers to the very first theater scene. So that's the one where Remy falls through the rooftop window into the kitchen of Gusteau's restaurant. We double-checked the blueprint, and the way Imagineers labeled the scenes in this attraction are as follows. So scene 0 is the queue, Scene 1, the boarding area. Scene 2, the rooftops over Paris. And scene 3, the kitchen. At least that's how it's labeled in the blueprints of the attraction. And that is the scene that has two theaters. Which makes sense given the duration of the screen-based sequence. Now, back to the show!
And lastly, he also talked about the intense collaboration between Walt Disney Imagineering Paris and Pixar Media. So Pixar really helped to create the scenes for these, well, bigger screens.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, these guys came over and they were standing in front of these huge screens and were completely enthusiastic and wanted to make everything different, of course. But they had the big challenge to create scenes that were clearly visible from any viewpoint. But it was nice to hear that Pixar itself was involved in creating these scenes.
Oh, that's so cool, Niels. Well, thank you so much for taking us along the tour. And speaking of tours, of course, there's one more that we have to talk about, which is the fabulous Avengers Campus tour that y'all did with Beth Clapperton. So again, would you do us the honors of sharing your highlights and maybe some fun facts?
Absolutely. Yeah, so less fun facts here to share because we mainly got the generic story of Avengers Campus, that we are recruits and a lot of talking about attractions that were there before and that kind of thing. So that was fun to relive everything and hear it from the Imagineer herself. And it was also good for the D23 people, mainly Americans, I think, to get the story, to understand where they were.
Nice.
That was really nice. But of course, some fun facts. Avengers Campus in California doesn't have Friday, the artificial intelligence that we can see in the and hear, of course, in the Flight Force facade. So that's something really unique to Paris. And there are 400 lines that they recorded for Friday in English and French. So I'm wondering if they're using all of them at the moment, as I have the feeling that I've heard most of them.
Okay.
Well, I'm hearing the same kind of lines in the same moments during the day as the messages change. But I'm not sure if I've heard like at 400. So maybe there are some special ones for special seasons locations. Not sure about it, but we know for sure that there are 400 lines recorded. She also talked a little bit about programming and testing Friday, that it was a long, long challenge, especially since the nights were really cold.
I can imagine.
And they had to do it at night, of course, so when no guests were in the parks. And also to see the lights probably better.
Totally.
It was a challenge for them. The music we hear was recorded at the famous UK-based Abbey Road Studios.
As always, nice, yeah.
As always, yeah. They like to do that and to mention that a lot. Also fun, the Quinjet, as we have it in Paris, can be spotted in the Avengers Endgame movie, as there are different jets for the Avengers in different movies, but this one we have mostly matches with Avengers Endgame. Imagineering ordered two Quinjets at the same time, one for Paris, one for California.
Nice.
And yeah, I think Beth told us that they were made in the US and that they had to fly one over to Paris.
Yeah, well, it's always more budget friendly when you know you're ordering a special object to just order two.
Yeah.
The second one is always going to be cheaper to make.
Exactly, yeah. But she said that there are some small differences between these two jets. So they're not one-on-one copies. Something to check out with some pictures maybe see if we can spot the differences. Yeah, so let's move to the fantastic food truck, which is in the back of the campus on the opposite of the Super Diner. We can see lots of pictures on it from Beth herself. So I thought it was really fun to stand in front of the truck, seeing her pictures. And then she was telling the story about this truck. It's like this truck toured the whole world past Avengers locations, and Beth revealed that the creative that was doing the other part of the tour, Lorraine Huriette, that she is the owner of the truck in story. And she took the pictures of Beth, as Beth couldn't be the owner because she's in all these pictures. So it's Lorraine owning the truck or driving the truck and taking the pictures of Beth, and they toured the whole world. The cabin is full of fun details like Funko Pops and even an awesome mixtape, like we know from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Always nice to have.
Sitting there in the radio. So that's fun. Some of you who attended the Leave a Legacy evening this summer when the messages of fans were stored in the Quinjet, or who attended at this D23 event, got some nice Avengers Campus badges. And the fun thing is that the badges match with the stickers on this fantastic food truck. So They're not just random images, but they're replicas of these stickers on the truck.
Oh, cool.
Beth also broke her ankle, unfortunately.
Oh gosh.
During the build of the campus. Oh. Somewhere in the superhero station, fantastic food truck area, we were standing there and she said, well, I broke my ankle just right here.
Oh.
And that's why we saw her in a wheelchair and also walking with crutches in the media events around the 30th anniversary and the opening of the campus. But fun fact here is that her shoe, when she broke her ankle and took it off, is somewhere in the Spider-Man Web Adventure pre-shows.
Whoa.
So if you spot a shoe in between all these, things in the pre-shows, then know that it's from Beth.
Cost her her
when
ankle.
She broke her ankle.
That shoe did.
So it's fun that they kept it in the campus. Well, lastly, Beth is happy to still see characters and live entertainment in the campus after the official delivery from WDI to operations. So there's always an official handover moment. Till the moment of the handover, WDI is the owner of the area. The Imagineers can go in and other people cannot.
Yeah.
But then they hand it over to operations. They add the lines and all the little signs and stuff. And then, WDI people have to behave as, let's say, guests. But Beth is checking out the campus every now and then, and she was really happy to still see that there's a lot of live entertainment, a lot of characters walking around, as that was really the intention, and is making the campus, well, feel alive. So,
totally.
That's a good thing. Oh, and one last thing, one of the other Inside Ears members, Arvid from Travel to the Magic, he's also Dutch like me, and he asked Beth about the Super Diner menu with the Reuben sandwiches. I'm not sure if those are a real success, as the Super Diner is not as popular anymore as when it used to be the Café de Cascadeurs.
Yeah.
But so he asked, when do we get the shawarma?
It's shawarma. So hard to say shawarma.
Yeah, in Dutch we say swarma.
Ah, okay.
So it's difficult for me to switch to English. And then she answered, well, coming soon.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then she realized, that's not smart to say to people like you. So she said, well, perhaps. So we don't know for sure, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's out of her hands, right? Because like you mentioned, WDI doesn't have control over it anymore. So it's all up to operations and the food department.
Exactly.
Now.
And I'm not sure if she has a say or knows something, but it was really fun, a little bit awkward. So maybe we'll get it one day. The fun thing was that one of the lines that Hulk can say is also something with, we need some shawarma, or can we get some shawarma? I'm not sure what the exact line was, but something with that. So maybe that's already a little hint of something else coming. Not sure, but
they need to stop talking about all that shawarma if they're not going to serve it, making me in the mood to eat some.
So that's it.
So what did you think of the new Disney Dreams?
Well, of course, I was happy to see Dreams again for its great storyline, and also to see something different again.
Of course.
It's especially made for our castle and has some really cool projections that perfectly make use of the shapes of the castle. So that's the biggest advantages of Dreams over Illuminations, I think.
Yeah.
But what was clearly different, well, the towers, they have now new LED lights that look amazing and really
so nice.
Add something extra to the show. But we also don't have these water screens anymore that we used to have when Dreams was performed. So those animations that were projected on the water screens are now projected onto the rock walk on the left side of the castle.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. That looked pretty good, I have to say, but it gives a little less feel of depth, in my opinion.
Right, because you had multiple layers before with the water screens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Downside is that all the projections look a little bit less sharp compared to Illuminations, revealing that it's maybe a little bit older production that came back, or it could also be that it's making use of more older content, like Peter Pan is the main character.
Yeah, it might be that they rendered the entire show at a lower resolution back in the day, and then
something like that.
Later on, when Illuminations came along, they had a better projection technology.
So I don't have the feeling that they upgraded it, and that it's still the old version. So but still, it's a really, really great experience overall. Enjoyed it a lot. Yeah.
Oh, so cool. I can't wait to check it out myself. Any final thoughts, highlights, or insights from the special event?
Well, I think I talked long enough, but maybe some short things. It was really fun to see the head of D23, Michael Varco, as he was actively participating as a D23 guest control member those days. He was checking if everyone was doing good during lunch, and he was walking around with the D23 signs to show where we had to wait for shows and tours and restaurants. So that was really fun to see him participating actively.
Cool.
He was a very accessible and nice person, so that was fun to meet him. Some D23 members from the USA that I talked to didn't have special expectations for the Lion King show, and some even considered doing some rides instead of going to the show. But I said, well, it's one of the best shows we have, so please go.
Yeah, totally.
And when I talked to them afterwards, they said that they were presently surprised, and they even compared it to Cirque du Soleil show, which has also live singing, high quality decors and costumes, and also features some acrobatics like this show. So they were really, really impressed of the quality of this show.
It is really above and beyond what you would expect from a theme park show. It's interesting that they mentioned Cirque du Soleil because there are really good acrobatics, but there's also Broadway quality singing and costumes. So yeah, it's a really nice combination of the two.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mix indeed.
Totally.
And of course, it's much better, I think, than the Lion King show they have in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like night and day.
Yeah. So they were probably expecting something like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Beth Clapperton also revealed that she's involved in the studio extensions. But of course, we could already imagine that she would be as a creative director.
Right.
But of course, she couldn't tell what she is exactly working on. But she's involved for sure. Yeah, and lastly, well, I just want to say thank you to the Inside Ears and the 23 teams for offering this fantastic opportunity to me, as I've really had a blast and happy to be able to report on this.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Niels, for taking us along on this wonderful journey. I almost feel like I was there, so it's really nice to hear all these stories come from you, so that's really cool.
Yeah, and I probably forgot a lot, but long days.
Yeah, lots going on. Brilliant. Niels, where can people find you?
Yeah, so please follow me on Instagram. I'm at Capturing Disney Parks and post daily pictures. And for all my other activities, please visit CapturingDisneyParks.com.
Awesome. You guys, if you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Aeromagique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss a future episode. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website, aeromagique.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris news and theme park news. We're expanding a little bit. We're doing some more Europa Park news and Efteling news. So if you're interested in finding out more about what's going on in theme parks in Europe, be sure to check that out. Also, please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/aeromagique. You get access to a completely new exclusive episode every month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running. But before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out at the Sequoia tier. So thank you so much to Simon, Jen, JB, Jerry, Gray, Andy, Jen OB, and of course, Tulips. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Now, stay safe and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this lift used to scare me a little bit as a kid.
I
remember
imagine.
Because I was always afraid of little drops. But now I'm so thrilled every time I go up it. It's really fun.
And the music is really loud in here.
So dramatic,
And you can hear the water coming down. And you're going up. It's quite dark.
Sometimes you even get splashed a little bit by the water coming down.
Exactly,
It smells
great.
And it's
also right after this Captain Jack's restaurant scene, which is really like a...
calm, relaxing.
Quite calm lagoon. Yeah. So, and here you really feel... Yeah, you enter the pirate story, something is going to happen. And
it's the drama, baby, the drama.
The suspense building up.
Now that was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon-exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode, as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon-exclusive episodes now on patreon.com/aeromagique. See you there!